You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to talk politics with Labour leader Andrew Little.
Kia ora, Andrew. This is Adam Herrig.
Hi, Adam.
So today I thought I'd start off. So this week's headlines have been revolving around the continuing saga of the botched Labour intern scheme, where 85 international students were brought over earlier this year to what some interns had claimed as unsatisfactory conditions. There have been some contradicting statements surrounding this, with Checkpoint last night interviewing a few of the students saying that there were no problems, yet in other media outlets in contact with some of the students, they stated that they had to build furniture out of abandoned plastic and things like that. Where do you think these contradicting statements could be coming from, and what's the reason for them?
Well, what I can say is that the party received some, I guess you could call them complaints about some of the conditions where the interns were staying. This was a scheme or a plan that didn't have any authority or approval from the party. It had been raised as an idea very early in the year, but it wasn't one that the party wished to be a part of or wished to pick up, and it was a surprise to many of us that there was even this whole intern scheme going on. Once we got the complaints, we made the decision. This had been done in the name of the Labor Party. We had to step in. We take responsibility. We investigated the complaints that we had. At least a couple of the interns who were there at the time were concerned about things, but the Party General Secretary, Andrew Curtin, and his staff interviewed and met with every one of the students and basically gave them the option to continue on the program, in which case we would find, you know, different accommodation and actually put together a program that met their expectations, or to go home. Some have gone home. I think the two of the people have gone, people who had raised the complaints initially. Most of the interns they expressed a desire to stay, and they are staying, and we're finding alternative accommodation for them, and we're putting together a program for them. So, I mean, I don't want to criticise anybody for raising issues of concern to them, because they clearly did that, but it may well be that the concerns of two or three or maybe a small group were taken and got a perspective or a proportion that actually wasn't consistent with the way most of the interns were feeling and the way they felt about the program. So that's the only explanation I can come up with.
Okay. You also stated how you had very little idea about the operations of Matt McCartan, but wasn't he under you as a staff member at the time? Did he not raise any of the prospects of starting this internship with you?
No, he was the director of my Auckland office, for sure. And so I was seeing Matt on a regular basis. I'm in Auckland every week, and he was there to organise my program. Although he raised this as an idea at the beginning of the year, and I had said, look, it's not a matter that my office can be concerned with. It's a party matter. It's about the campaign and internships and what have you. It's a party matter. And I wasn't involved, had no involvement or knowledge of it after that. Now, although Matt was employed by me up until May this year, he is free to do his own things in his own time, and I'm assured that his involvement in it was in his own time. He wasn't the only one actively involved in putting it together. There were others as well. In fact, at least three other people on the party side who were involved in it. So that's how it sort of came together. But I had no knowledge of what was happening, and until we got the complaints, had no knowledge of the size and scale of it and what was actually going on.
Right, because it's also come out this week that one of those members who were a part of it has resigned, Paul Chalmers. Why do you think he offered his resignation up?
Well, he stood down from the governing council of the party, and because he was associated with it, he was involved in it, and because the party is going to have an investigation into how things got to the point that they did without the party giving approval or giving authority or being involved. And it is right that he should stand aside, and he's done that, and the party now has to do its inquiry and to get to the bottom of the matter and get the facts about how it actually happened in the way that it did.
So could his resignation be seen as almost a way to save a little bit of face for the Labor Party?
Well, he volunteered to stand down from the Governing Council, and he's done that, and he has said he will stand down until there is a completed inquiry and conclusions are known. So he made that decision himself. I happen to think it was the right thing because he did have an involvement in the whole thing.
Right, right. It's also been confirmed that two of the students were here on incorrect visas. Why had this not been thoroughly checked upon arrival?
Well, that's again a question I can't answer because I wasn't involved, my office wasn't involved, and the party wasn't involved. It goes back to that whole thing, that had this been something that had actually been properly organised through the party and sought the proper approvals, then proper management arrangements could have been put in relation to it. But that didn't happen. So the people involved in putting it together, they have organised it, and obviously of the 85 who've come here, two didn't have the right visa. I have to say, in fairness to them, I've seen a document that did say that those who were coming here were required to themselves arrange their own working holiday visa, and two of them didn't, so that's what's happened. So that's what we've discovered since the party headquarters has taken over and taken control.
Right, right. And then also coming up today, just moving on to our next topic, Labor will be announcing shortly their employment relations policy at 12:30. Can you break down this policy for me?
I guess the big motivation is the fact that for far too many New Zealanders now, their wages are simply not keeping pace with the real cost of living. I've met workers who have gone 6 or 7 years without a pay increase. We know that last year alone, of those who got a pay increase, roughly two-thirds or three-quarters, the pay increase they received didn't keep pace with the rate of inflation. And then if you add on top of that the fact that rents and housing costs are just going through the roof. There is something seriously wrong when we have an economy that's growing, and the government tells us one of the fastest rates of growth in the world, but the gains clearly are not being shared properly. And the one way you share economic gains is through decent wages. So we will have some commitments about wages and wage setting and improving the rules around collective bargaining to make sure that we keep that upward pressure on wages. We are going to replace the 90-day fire at will law that National introduced for trial periods. Look, we'll continue to ensure that employers are entitled to take workers on a trial period, but the rules of fairness that the National Party eliminated when they introduced their law in 2009, we're going to put those rules of fairness back. There's a range of other things. In the end, it comes down to having a set of employment laws that treat people fairly, make sure that workers are getting their fair share in terms of decent pay and conditions, but actually also encourage an environment in the workplace where workers have a voice, have a say on the business that they are part of, and increase productivity that way, and that everybody gets to benefit from. So it is about saying, this employment relationship is a mutual relationship. It's not one where the boss just gets to crack the whip and that's it. It's got to be a genuinely collaborative, cooperative, mutual relationship.
Right. So essentially it's about regaining some sense of equality towards worker wages then?
Equality, fairness. I mean, the idea, it was great to see the aged care and home care workers getting their settlement a few weeks ago. The government got them behind. In the end, the government had to get them behind it because those workers had gone to court four times. At that result, and the government was told basically, you hop on board or we'll tell you what you're going to pay these workers, and then the government sort of got down to negotiate. You shouldn't have to spend 4 years going to the highest court in the land to get justice and to get decent pay. So we want to change that attitude and that culture, put in place mechanisms that mean that people can get decent and fair pay just through proper dialogue and conversation. The other thing we want to do is, for a lot of workers who are employed as ostensibly as contractors, but actually where there's a high degree of control over the person they're contracted to, actually they should have some rights too to negotiate their pay and their conditions and not be subject to summary termination of the contract. So it is a different approach. It's about recognising that we've got to do something better in terms of incomes and pay. We've just got to do better, and this is what our law changes are geared to doing.
Right, right. Thank you very much for joining me again this week, Andrew.
Thanks, Adam.
See you later.
You've been listening to Andrew Little from the Labour Party. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.